is the man of understanding, the guru in the world, profoundly would have the world understand. The nature of his presence is this intention, this requirement, this wish, this hope for the world. But even this hope that the man of understanding lives is paradoxical, because it is absolutely impossible for the world to understand. The world will never be anything but Narcissus. This is the principle of the world. Some may turn about, of course, but the principle of the world is very likely to remain the same, because the turnabout, the becoming of truth in this world, requires the creative dissolution of Narcissus, not the magical disappearance of Narcissus. So spiritual life and the presence of the man of understanding in the world is always a creative process. It's always relative to the essential, fundamental limitation of the world. After all of this, why haven't you understood? He's the one who writes this book knows very well that the guy who's reading his last paragraph hasn't been changed one iota by reading this book. It's assumed, and just not a magical assumption. It's obvious that nobody's going to have understood in any fundamental way as a result of reading this book. Perhaps something has begun. The only thing you have not done is understanding. You have seen everything, but you do not understand. Therefore, the man of understanding leaps for joy that you have already understood. This is the madness of the man of understanding. He lives in a madhouse. Truth lives in an insane environment. But the truth, in the form of the guru, in the form of the man of understanding, does not take on the principle or the quality or the point of view of Narcissus or of the world. He remains the man of understanding. And in order to remain the man of understanding, he must live the quality of the man of understanding. And to live the quality of the man of understanding is not to take on the images of the world, not to believe the world, not to reflect in his own mind the quality of the world as it is being lived in ignorance. So instead of getting dramatically upset and depressed by the fact that the world does not understand, the man of understanding is humorous. He acts as if the world already understood. He sees the world as a place of understanding, a place of illumination. He sees everything already self-realized, already true. By assuming this paradoxical role, which is also a quality of his paradoxical activity, this is his means of coaxing everyone only to understand. This is his way of curing Narcissus. Not by acting as if Narcissus is Narcissus all the time. He'd put a bullet through his head in a short time if he went around actually seeing everybody doing only that all the time. He would lose his humor, but the quality of one who understands is humor, prior humor. So by remaining humorous, by acting as if the world understands, by remaining joyful, even under the ordinary conditions of the world, essentially free and blissful, even though the world remains as it is. By doing this, he also does paradoxical work that cures the world, coaxes it to understand. By these means, he makes disciples. Not by acting toward his disciple like his disciple actually is, but by always representing to him the form of truth, the form of life. Always living in humor with those who come to him, he makes disciples out of them. He looks at the world. This is after he's begun to leap for joy. Did I write that? He looks at the world and sees that everyone and everything is already understood. He sees that there is only understanding. Not that there is a world that doesn't understand and must understand, but he sees that there is only understanding already. That's all that there is. This is again a way of reflecting the nature of his humor. This is paradox. This is not delusion. Thus the man of understanding is constantly happy with you. He is overwhelmed with happiness. He says to you, see how there is only this world of perfect enjoyment, where everyone is happy and everything is blissful? His heart is always tearful with the endless happiness of the world. So obviously, he's, if this were literally so of him, he'd be insane. But no, this is part of his paradoxical quality. He always speaks in terms of bliss, of happiness, of truth, of sadhana, of all of these things. And of self-realization in the world as being an entirely blissful process, which it is. And he represents it unconditionally to everyone. In other words, the activity of his presence in the world is not one of believing the world as it is, but of always acting from the principle of his own realization, not the principle of the appearance that the world itself generates.